Chapter 30. Philip. The Pella limped along at a third of a G. After so long on the float, Philip felt even that in his knees and spine. Or maybe it was only that he was still bruised by the god-awful forces of the battle now behind them. The battle they'd lost. He stood in the galley, a bowl of Martian-designed rice noodles and mushrooms in his hand, and looked for a place to sit, but the benches were all filled. The Koto had taken it worse than the Pella. A railgun round holding the reactor and cracking the hull from stem to stern. Most of the ships Philip had lived on would have died in that same second, but the Martian Navy had built with battle in mind. In a slice of a second so thin you could see through it, the Koto had registered the hit and dropped core, leaving the crew trapped and helpless, with only the battery backups to keep them alive. The Shinsakuto had been driven away from them, hounded and harassed by fighting ships and torpedoes from the consolidated fleet and series. If the Rosinante had finished its job on the Pella, the crew of the Koto would still be out there on the float. Or maybe they'd be dead by now. The air recyclers finally failing and leaving them all to gasp and choke and claw each other in their death panic. Instead, they were all on the Pella, hot bunking with the usual crew, taking up space on the galley, and pointedly not making eye contact with Philip as he looked for his place among them. His own crew was there too. Men and women he'd been shipping with since before it all began. Aman, Miral, Wings, Carol, Josie. They were looking away as much as the others. Only about half of them were wearing their Free Navy uniforms. Koto and Pella both had dropped back to the simple functional clothes that any crew might wear, and some of the ones still in uniform had rolled up their sleeves or left their collars open. Philip felt his own uniform, crisp and fresh and done to the neck, and for the first time he felt a little foolish in it. Like a kid dressed in his father's clothes, as a costume. The murmur of conversation was a wall that excluded him. He hesitated. He could just take the bowl back to his quarters. It wasn't really that they were keeping him apart. It was only that they were so crowded now and stung from having lost a fight. He took a step toward the corridor, intending to go, meaning to, and then stopping and looking back in case there was some slot, some corner of bench that he'd overlooked. Some place for him. He caught Miral's eye. The older man nodded and, Philip thought with a sigh, shifted to open a little room beside him. Philip didn't run there like a little boy, but he went quickly, worried that the gap might close again before he reached it. Carol was sitting across from Miral, and all of them sandwiched by unfamiliar bodies. A woman with dark skin and a scar across her upper lip, a thin man with a tattoo on his neck. An older woman, white, close-cropped hair and a crooked, unfriendly smile. Carol was the only one of them to acknowledge Philip, and that only with a grunt and a nod. When the older woman spoke, it seemed like she was picking up the thread of a conversation that had been going on before Philip had taken his seat, but with a studied casualness of someone with an agenda. Konmiskoyo on the Shinsakuto. The series fleet's there forever. Earth away from Earth.
Forever's a long time, Miral said, considering the table like he was reading it. Can think we know what a year, 2 years, 3 years down looks like, aber that's only shit and guessing.
Can't see the future, the woman said. Can see what's there now, though, okay, no? Philip took a mouthful of two salty noodles. He waited too long to start eating, and they were more than halfway to paste. The older woman grinned like she'd won a point, leaned in, put her elbows on the table so the split-circle tattoo of the OPA on her wrist showed. Almost like she was displaying it.
All I'm saying is maybe time we start winning something, yeah? Ceres? Enceladus? Seems like La Sola cocks we kick anymore are Michio Paz. And not so much hers even.
We beat Earth, Philip said. He'd meant it to seem like an offhand comment, something thrown into the conversation almost at random. Instead, he sounded shrill and defensive, even to himself. The words lay there on the table like something broken past fixing. The older woman's smile was thin and nasty. Or maybe he only thought it was. One way or the other, she leaned back, took her elbows off the table. When she stood, when she walked away, it was with the air of having made her point, whatever it had been. Carl coughed, shook his head.
No te preocupes, Filipito, he said.
Why would I worry? Philip asked around another bite of noodles. Carl made a circling motion with his hand.
All this and everyone. After a fight, it's the story about the fight, yeah?
Yeah, Philip said. Bis bien. I understand. Meral and Carl glanced at each other, and he pretended not to notice. The other crew from the Koto kept their silences to themselves.
Oi, Koyo,
Meral said, touching Philip's shoulder. Finish that and come help me with some repair work, yeah?
Still tracking down some ganga between the hulls.
Philip pushed the bowl away with his fingertips. This is done already, he said. Let's go, us. The strike that had crippled the Pella hadn't been one thing, but a tight cluster of PDC rounds. If they'd hit straight on, it would have been better. The top of the ship above the cockpit and command deck was angled and reinforced against exactly that kind of impact. Maybe it would have peeled back a section of the hull and made a hell of a bang, but kept the guts of the ship safe. The way it had happened, the rounds raking down the side of the ship in a stream, was worse. The housings of the Pella's maneuvering thrusters and PDC cannons, sensor arrays, and external antennas had suffered. It was like someone had taken a scraper along all the exposed parts of the ship and taken off whatever could be removed. The damage had left a blind spot in their PDC coverage, but the torpedo that came through it had malfunctioned. If it had detonated, it could have cracked the ship in two, and the old bitch from the galley would have had to hope for the mercy of the inners to keep her leathery ass from drowning in her own waste air. The torpedo had still hit hard enough to breach the outer hull, though, and the long, tedious work of finding each bit of scrap shaken loose needed to happen. Leaving a handful of metal and ceramic shards to rattle around between decks whenever they fired their maneuvering thrusters was begging for death. So Philip and Meral suited up, checked each other's seals and bottles and rebreathers, and crawled into the space between the hulls. The Martian designs were elegant and well-ordered, everything labeled along with inspection and change-out dates. In the white flare of light from his lamp, Philip considered the bent plate of the outer hull, the jagged gash where the stars showed through. The galactic plane glowed white and gold and rose against the black. It was hard not to stop and stare. It was different looking at the stars as stars, and not dots on a screen. He'd spent his whole life in ships and stations, seeing the billions of unblinking lights with just his own eyes only happened when he went outside on a repair or an operation. It was always beautiful, sometimes alarming. This time, it seemed almost like a promise. The endless abyss opened around them, a whisper that the universe was larger than his ship, larger than all the ships put together. Humanity could put its flag on 1,300 of those dots and not be a percent of a percent of a percent. That was the empire the inners were fighting and dying to control. 100 more planets a dozen times over and less than a rounding error of what was out there, staring back at them.
Oi, Filipito, Meral said on the suit's private channel. Come around. Think I've got something.
Come. Moment. Meral was crouched down beside the power conduit for the sensor array. His light was playing over a bit of inner hull. A short, bright line showed where something had scratched it. Meral ran his glove over it, and it smeared. Ceramic, then.
Okay, you little shit, Philip said, playing his lamp down the conduit. Where do you go?
Follow on, Meral said, scrambling down the handholds. When they reached Palace, the crews could do a more complete inspection. There were tools to blast nitrogen and argon into every crease and curve of the ship and blow out anything stuck there. Better, though, to have as much done before they arrived. And, Philip thought, there weren't any other people out between the hulls. As jobs went, it was the most isolated one that the Pella had to offer. All alone, that was reason enough to work it. Meral's little gasp of victory caught Philip's attention and brought him down close to where the other man was hunched. Meral took a pair of pliers from his belt, applied himself to a section of conduit where the weld had left a gap, then sat back with a grin Philip could see through the suit's helmet mask. The chip was the size of a thumbnail, jagged along one side, smooth on the other. Philip whistled appreciatively.
Big one.
Si, no? Meral said.
Leave esa bastard la bouncing around like shooting a gun in here, yeah?
One less, Philip said. Let's see how many more we find. Meral made a fist and agreed, then tucked the shard into a pocket.
You know, when I was about your age, drinker back then, me. Spent my time with this Koyo, always talked about fights he'd been in. Got in them a lot. Liked them, I guess.
Yeah, Philip said, lowering himself farther down, playing his light across the housing of a maneuvering thruster. He didn't know where Meral was going with this.
This Koyo, he said mostly when things spun up it was from the other bastard getting embarrassed, Sasa. Maybe didn't want to throw knuckles, but couldn't find a way to push off without his crew seeing him weak.
Philip scowled behind his faceplate.
Maybe Meral was talking about what had happened on Ceres.
It still bothered Philip sometimes. Not the violence itself, but the little flashes of humiliation left over from realizing the girl he'd been with at the Ceres bar had gone. It wasn't something he wanted to spend more time with.
¿Qué sabes?
He said, hoping that would be enough. But Meral went on.
Only saying, a man who's feeling like he lost face, yeah? He'll say things he doesn't mean because of it. Do things he doesn't mean.
I meant all what I did, Philip thought, but didn't say. Would mean it again, to do it over. But it had the bright, painful feel of touching a fresh scrape, and he'd already come across like a shitty little kid once today. Better to keep his own counsel. And, as it turned out, that wasn't what Meral meant at all.
Your father is a good man. Belted to his bones, yeah? It's just this Holden bastard's a sore for him. Getting knocked back. Happens a alles one time and another. He alles talk a little bigger afterward. Not a good thing, not a bad thing. Just the way men get made. Don't take it too close.
Philip paused, turned back.
Don't take it too close?
He repeated, making it a question, a demand that Meral say what he meant.
That, Meral said, your dad doesn't mean what he says.
Philip turned his light on Meral, shining it through the older man's faceplate. Meral squinted, put a hand up to shade his eyes.
What does he say?
Philip asked. Marco's quarters were past clean to spotless. The walls shone in the light, freshly polished. The dark smudges that always built up beside handholds nearest the door, evidence of the passage of hundreds of hands, had been scraped away. The monitor didn't carry so much as a fleck of lint. fake sandalwood from the air recycler didn't quite bury the ghost of disinfectant and antifungal wash. Even the gimbals on the crash couch sparkled in the gentle light. His father, watching the monitor, was also groomed to an eerie perfection. His hair clean and perfectly in place, his beard soft and brown, and trimmed so well it seemed almost false. His uniform looked like it had never been worn before. Crisp lines and clean folds. The seams set perfectly, as if by his own precision and the force of his will, he could haul all the rest of the ship up to his standards. Like all the control Marco had spread across the system had been concentrated in one place. Not an atom in the air was out of place. Rosenfeld was on the monitor. Philip caught the words, "other eventualities," before Marco stopped the playback and turned to him. "Yes," Marco said. Philip couldn't tell what was in his voice. Calm, yeah. But Marco had 1,000 varieties of calm, and not all of them meant things were okay. Philip was too aware that they hadn't really spoken since the battle. "Was talking to Morale?" Philip said, crossing his arms and leaning against the doorframe. Marco didn't move. Not a nod, not a glance away. His dark eyes left Philip feeling exposed and uncertain, but there wasn't a way to step back from this. Not without asking. "Said you were telling how what happened was my fault?" "Because it was." The words were simple. Matter of fact. There was no heat to them. No sneer or accusation. Philip felt them like a blow to the chest. "Okay," he said. "Bien. You were the gunner, and they got away." Marco spread his arms in a quick surgical shrug. "Was it a question? Or maybe you're saying it was my fault for thinking you could do it?" It took Philip an extra try to talk past his throat. "Didn't drive us into those rounds, me," he said. "Gunner, me, not the pilot. And didn't have a railgun, yeah? Pinche Holden had a railgun." His father tilted his head to one side. "I just told you that you failed. Now you're giving me reasons why it's okay that you failed? Is that how it works?" Philip knew the kind of calm now. "No," he said. Then, "No, sir." "Good. Bad enough that you fucked it up. Don't start bawling over it, too." "Not," Philip said. But there were tears in his eyes. Shame ran through his blood like bad drugs and left him shaking. "Not bawling, me." "Then own it. Say it like a man. Say, I fucked it up." "I didn't," Philip thought. "It wasn't my fault. I fucked it up." "All right then," Marco said. "I'm busy. Close the door when you go." "Yeah. Okay." As Philip turned, Marco shifted back to the monitor. His voice was soft as a sigh. "Crying and excuses are for girls, Philip." "Sorry," Philip said, and pulled the door behind him. He walked down the narrow corridor. Voices from the lift, voices from the galley. 2 crews in the space of 1, and he couldn't stand to be near any of them. Not even Morale. Especially not Morale. "He put me up," Philip thought. It was like Morale said. They hadn't kept hold of Ceres, and then Pa had insulted him by breaking away. This was supposed to be the thing to show the Free Navy couldn't be fucked with, and all 3 of their wolves together hadn't been able to stop the fucking Rosinante. Marco had been humiliated, and shit floated against the spin. That was all it was. Still, the space below Philip's ribs ached like he'd been punched. It wasn't his fault. It was his fault. He wasn't bawling out excuses, except that was absolutely what he'd done. He turned on the light in his cabin. One of the engineering techs was hot bunking there, blinking up into the light like a baby mouse.
"Que ça?"
the man said. "I'm tired," Philip said.
"Be tired somewhere else,"
the tech said.
"I've got 2 more hours down."
Philip put his heel against the crash couch and spun it. The tech reached out a hand, stopped it, and unstrapped.
"Fine," he said. "You're so fucking tired, sleep then."
The tech took his clothes, muttering under his breath, and left. Philip locked the door behind him and folded himself into the couch. Still in his uniform that stank of sweat and the vac suit seals. The tears tried to come then, but he bit them back, pushed the hurt down into his gut until it settled into something else. Marco was wrong. His father had embarrassed himself because Holden and Johnson and Naomi got past them. It was like Meral said, men got like that. And they said things they didn't mean, did things they wouldn't do if they were thinking straight. Philip hadn't fucked it up. Marco was wrong, that was all. This time, he just got it wrong. Words came into his mind as clear as if they'd been spoken. Though he'd never heard her speak them, they came in his mother's voice. Wonder what else he got wrong.